Our Old Testament reading for this first Sunday in Advent comes from Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountain quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God beside you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you are angry, and we sinned. In our sins, we have been a long time. Shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hands. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. When they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethany and Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and we'll send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it and spread many of their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The church year isn't something mandated. We could change it if we wanted to. But it's one of the things that the Lutheran reformers never even thought about changing. They never saw the need. Calvin and Zwingli's branch of the Reformation did tend to pitch out the church year. So much so that the pilgrims who come from that branch wouldn't celebrate Christmas. Paul addresses exactly this problem in Romans 14, saying, "One person esteems one day better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind." These things are parts of the freedom of the Christian. And most of the church throughout history has found some type of liturgical calendar helpful. The liturgical year is one of those things that stretches back into who knows exactly when. The earliest full lectionary book that we have dates to the 5th century AD, and it's in Caucasian Albanian. That's an extinct language that bears no relation to modern Albanian. There are also existing fragments of other languages earlier than that. So it's a suspected practice that goes right back to the start, probably being taken over from the Jewish synagogue practice. We have a gospel account of Jesus reading in that synagogue in Nazareth. And he was very likely reading from a scroll instead of a book, but reading the lectionary of the day. The Jewish Talmud tells us that that practice goes back to Moses, structured around the Jewish high holy days. So Paul's response is probably a realizing of the tension between the Jews who are Jewish Christians, who still honor those Old Testament days, and the Gentile Christians who are still figuring it out. And when they did figure it out, they settled on two portions of the year. Half the year following the life of Christ, and the other half concentrating on his teaching and his apostles' teaching. They would further demark those seasons around the holidays, Christmas, Epiphany, Easter, and Pentecost. And then, a little later, would set up a couple of shorter seasons as preparation, which for those early Christians meant intentional rounds of prayer and fasting and almsgiving. They set apart Advent and Lent to prepare for Christmas and Easter. That's liturgical Advent. And as much as I typically follow the gospel lesson, and we might still get there, the Old Testament lesson kept drawing me in this week as much more meaningful for the Advent season. If we asked exactly what does Advent mean, or what are the thoughts, the emotions and the meditation that Advent is supposed to inspire, Isaiah tells us, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." Advent is meant to be a time of understanding our separation from God. I have to back up a bit in Isaiah to pick up some of that feeling. Isaiah pleads, "Look down from heaven and see. The stirring of your inner parts and your compassion are held back from me. O Lord, why do you make us wonder from your ways and harden our hearts so that we fear you not?" Isaiah recognized that the separation is not because we are in the driver's seat. When God wishes to come down, the mountains quake, and the fire kindles and causes the water to boil. Nations tremble at his presence. But the Lord can just as easily make us wander from his ways and harden our hearts. We all have become like one who is unclean. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There's no one who calls your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us, and you have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. The punishment of our sin is not the roaring anger of God. The wages of sin are not a lightning bolt from the sky. No, we just get to live with it. We get to live in that felt absence of God. And there's nothing in that state that we can do to bridge the gap. Oh, we've always tried to build towers of Babel to storm the heavens. We've tried to put on strong faces, demanding our inheritance and walking away into a far country. But every time we do something like that, the inheritance runs out, and we find ourselves eating the pig slop. Can I suggest that collectively we in the United States have done something like that? We've been deeply involved in denying the fifth and the sixth commandments for a long time. We've been living off the inheritance of faithful fathers and mothers for a long time. And now we find ourselves in the slop, and the punishment of sin is living in it. We can feel that separation. Right? We can feel the face of God hidden from us. And yet we don't call upon his name. We don't rouse ourselves to take hold. That is Advent. Knowing our troubles. Knowing mentally our sin and our separation. And knowing that it's out of our hands. Oh, that the Lord would rend the heavens and come down. Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage. Behold, please look. We are all your people. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Lord, grant us repentance. That is Advent. A longing for that repentance. A longing for that renewal. A longing for the action of God. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God has acted. As separate as we might feel at times, the reign of God has come near. But now it has come humbly. Not in front of 10,000 angels. Not in power to force us out of our pig pits, should we desire to stay in them. But it has come riding on a colt. Riding into the big city with a cordon of peasants as his guard. With palms as his only weapon. With the proclamation as his only power. The Lord has need of it. Hosanna, blessed is the coming reign of our father David. That first advent of humility. Those peasants, within a week, would all desert him. The palms would be so much trampled dust. The declaration made into a joke. This one is the King of the Jews, tacked above that cross. But God was with us. He looked and he saw his people. And even that cross would not stop him from rending the heavens and coming down. He continues with us humbly today. Christ continues with us wherever the proclamation is given. Repent, for the reign of God is here. Christ continues with us in bread and wine. Christ continues to ride into hearts who turn and call his name. Bruised reed he will not break, and the smoldering wick he will not quench. On that cross, God put down his anger. On that cross, he remembers our iniquity no more. On that cross, he'd kindle the fires of Pentecost to come. That is Advent. The reign of Christ coming to you, humbly in word and sacrament. Christ has come to us and continues with us. We get to live in the reign of God. We get to go to the villages in front of us and untie things because the Lord has need of them. Yes, right now, many are bound in sin, hard hearts far from God. But we get to bring Christ near and free those bound. And yes, there will be plenty of people who will ask incredulously, "What are you doing?" But the Lord has need of them. And the word has power. When they ask about the hope that resides in you, be ready to answer. This is Advent, awaiting for what lies in the village ahead of us, an expectant hope for what joyful works of righteousness will be ours. There's one last Advent. In this world, we'll always feel a bit of that separation. Because in this world, Christ does come down humbly. But the day is coming when the kingdom will not be hidden under bread and wine, when it will not be cloaked in living stones. The day is coming when the kingdom no longer grows silently, but will be announced with the trumpet. The king who came on a colt will come with all of his angels. The king who came as the last to serve will finally be seen as the greatest. The day is coming when the place of God is with his people. Today he does see all of his people. And tomorrow, they will all be seen, all around that eternal throne, never to be separated from God again. That too is Advent. Hosanna, blessed is the coming kingdom. Amen.